this scripture, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, forms the entire basis of this new members course. So I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read it. And I just want, I want to highlight a couple of things to you so that you can see the things that are so key to us. So the first scripture there says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and the signs performed by the apostles. Verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So I just want to highlight just a couple of quick things. The first four things there is ultimately, we as a leadership, it's not our responsibility to devote you to the call of God in your life. It says here in Scripture, they devoted themselves. So that's between you and God. So we ask you to devote yourself to what God's called you to. Ask God what he's called you to. Second thing, apostles' teaching tells us the value and the importance of church and actually being able to hear the word of God that's been preached. So we don't have a checklist and we don't keep track of whether you come or don't. But if you want to get the best out of this church, don't come to a Sunday service once every 8 weeks. You can make the decision how frequently you want to come. But our encouragement to you is the Bible says, devote yourself to the apostles' teaching. We've got people that are mining the word of God and spending time and hours in preparation to preach from this pulpit so that yours and my hearts can be changed. Thirdly, fellowship speaks about fellowship. Two fellows, one ship. We actually want to do life together. That's what it is. We're calling you to say, come along with us. Come and join us in this journey of being able to do life together. Breaking bread speaks about enjoying meals and being in one another's homes. And actually, as Eugene spoke about, celebrating what Jesus did on the cross, his body that was broken, his blood that was shed, so that you and I can have a life in eternity. And then finally, pray. Prayer is important to us. We have prayer here once a month. Come and join us at prayer. Come and be a part of it, because prayer is a very wonderful thing. And then the next scripture says, filled with awe. And I tell you, that thing, every time I read that, it blows me away, because we are filled with awe with what God is doing here in this community. And I hope you are too, because we do not take one iota of what God has done for granted. But we are filled with awe because of what God has done. And then finally, the last scripture there says, and the Lord added to their number daily. And our heart is, and we are trusting that God's added you to us too, because we've had this flood of people that have joined 3CR that we never expected. But God by his goodness, only God by his goodness and grace has added. And we are thankful to the Heavenly Father for the people that he's adding to us week in and week out. And so I really hope that you take those scriptures, make them your own. But those are not just scriptures that we read, but they're a value system that we hold by, in particular with the new members course. We're now going to be covering three different topics, and we've got three different speakers that are going to be speaking for 30 minutes each. I'm only joking. So the three speakers are going to, in total, be 30 minutes. But we're going to be speaking on, we're covering three different topics. The first one we're going to be speaking about is community. The second topic we're going to speak about is life groups. And the third topic is going to be speaking about is serving. So with community, Tyler Page is going to be sharing about that. She's a young lady that's been a part of this community for about two and a half years. She was born into church community. So she understands the heartbeat of it and what it means, and has been such an incredible thing watching this young lady grow up in the things of God and understand what community means. So I ask that you would open up your hearts to it. Secondly, Matt and his lovely wife Jess lead an amazing life group, and they've seen many, many medical students come through their home over the years. And they've seen people's lives change as they've done meals together and discussed the preach on Sundays. But actually, they've seen incredible fruit as many people have walked through their doors week in and week out. And then finally, volunteering. My friend Damian, he's the guy that really, might, in many ways, has set up the heart and the fiber of serving and volunteering in this community. And much of this church relies on volunteers. And we want to give you an opportunity to come along and be a part of it. So I'm not going to introduce each of them when they come up. That's the introduction. So Tyler Page, if you can kick things off, we look forward to it. Let's welcome Tyler Page.
Thank you so much, Clint. If I haven't had the joy of meeting you before, my name's Ta and I'm on staff here at 3CR. And as Clint said, I have the incredible privilege tonight on sharing on community. And I think if we look at some of the values of 3CR, they're things like we stop for the one, the fact that we are a brother's keeper. And I think you can't go far in this church without realizing that there's a call to community, that it's actually woven in the very fabric of our understanding of faith, and that actually faith is something that's outworked in a family of believers. And if there's one thing that you take away from our hopefully 8 minutes, is this, that although faith is a very personal decision, faith is a team sport. I'm going to say it again. Even though faith is a personal decision, it's a personal, Jesus, I trust that actually I'm going to put my trust in you, that you're going to save me. It's a personal decision. Faith is outworked as a team sport. So in 1 Corinthians, it's really beautiful. It talks about the body of Christ. It talks about the fact that we're one body, but we have many different parts and many different gifts and many different roles. And the thing that's so beautiful about it is it's not just talking about one body in a local church like this. It's actually talking about one body in a global church. But how does this work? If we know community is important, this oneness, this togetherness is important, how does it outwork? And I think it's really good to ask questions. Can I just say, God's not afraid of your questions. So, why community? Number one, God went first. We were created from community for community. I love in Genesis 1, I also lead the kids ministry, so thank you, Ava. I love it. It says here, it says, in the beginning, it says, let us create man in our image and in our likeness. The our is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So from the very beginning, we were created in the context of community and togetherness. Do you know, it goes on to say in Genesis 2, it is not good for man to be alone. So we were created from the very beginning in community, for community. God went first, so we can trust him. It's a good idea. Right. Number two, why community? I want to say to you tonight that community is God's way. It's the way that he works. I love that we went through Acts chapter 2, 42, because it's going to trim down my time. Thank you very much, Clint. But in Acts chapter 2, there's this radical community. I don't know about you, but if you spend any amount of time with people, that amount of time, spending that amount of time together and enjoying it, there's something different about it. Just spend some time at Christmas with all of your family. Sometimes it doesn't look like Acts, right? They were sharing meals together. They were listening to the word together. There was the breaking of bread. There was prayer together. There was this togetherness. There was this, their souls were being fed by the apostles' teaching. Their needs were being met within the community. It was wild. And can I say to you tonight, that is God's invitation. Because you see, community is a gift with radical potential. When the community of God can stand together in togetherness, wild things happen. Can I tell you that tonight? Yes. It says here, it's good, so I'm going to read it. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs. Guys, when we get community right, the world takes notice. It's important.
Very good.
So what are some of the ways that 3CR expresses community? We've got every kind of group you can find. Life group, mom's group, youth group, student group. Can I say to you tonight, just find one and trust the process. Find a space and trust the process. My last point tonight is possibly my favorite point. Why community? Because God went first. He's in community. He modeled community. It's important. He created us in community. Number two, it's God's way. It's a way that's powerful. If you submit yourself to this way, I'm telling you, it'll change your life. And thirdly, it's God's promise. One of my favorite scriptures is in Psalm 68, and it says, God sets the lonely in families. And the reason why I love this scripture is sometimes loneliness can be sneaky. It's like sometimes a season changes or something changes and all of a sudden you're like, wow, where's everyone? Can I tell you, most of the time it's not everyone else, it's you. But I want to tell you this, if we can trust in who God is, a God who is passionate about togetherness, he is together. He made us from together. If we can trust who he is and how he works, you can trust God that he will put you in a family if you let yourself be moved by his ways. Beautiful. See, there is never a good or more convenient time to plow into community. I think of students, and so often they're like, oh, you know, I just need to settle. New city, new, everything's new. I'm just going to settle, and then I know life group will be good. After I've settled, I'll find a life group. Or maybe you're a new parent. Maybe you remember that season where you were a new mom or a new dad, and you're like, sheesh, I just need to find my feet. Just give me a hot minute to find my feet, and then I know mom's group will be good. And then I'll head back to a life group. Then I'll get stuck back in. Maybe you're here tonight, and actually you think, I'm actually good. I've got friends. Like, my life's going pretty well. My job's actually, like, on fire in the best way. I'm good. Can I tell you that community is for everyone in every season? Because the students, if there are any students in this room tonight, you will find friendship and family and community. To the parents in this room, you will find support and capacity and friendship and community. To those of you in this room that are like, actually, I think I'm okay. Community will blow your socks off. It will ground you, it will protect you, and it will make life sweeter. Community is God's design. Community is God's way, and community is God's promise. I moved up here a few years ago, and to give you a story about this community that we are a part of, there are a group of friends that actually I didn't know well. I was moving up to some family that were waiting for me, and some friends I'd probably spent a couple of encounters with. But they took a day's leave, got in their car, drove 700 kilometers, packed up my house with me. Fridges, beds. I don't know if anybody who's moved across the country before. It's wild. They packed up my house for me. They drove me back. And as they were moving me into my new home, I spotted the estate agent that had given us our keys. And she was this peculiar mix of tender and confused, was the only way I can describe it. So I said, Sula, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And she just said to me, I don't know what's going on. Why are there so many people? And I said, yeah, great question. That's so awful. They're helping us move in. We've just got a job here. And she goes, no, I don't understand. I've been an estate agent for decades and I've never seen this many people help somebody move in. You already moved in and we've been here like an hour. And can I tell you, that is a picture of a community of people, a community based in the Word of God that will meet you where you're at. Yes. They will be the hands and feet of Jesus, and it'll point to Jesus. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Matt. Some people call me Matthew, which is my legal name. My wife and I are a part of this church. We're on the eldership team, and we love life group. We love it. And so I was asked to talk about life group tonight, and you wouldn't believe it. I did not compare notes with Clint or with Tyler Page, and I've got Acts 2, verses 42. It's like there's one spirit, you know? So I'm going to read it to you, because I want to dive into, like, life group isn't just because we saw your Tuesday was open and we wanted to put something there. There's a specific reason we do it, and it's something biblical about it. So Acts 2 verses 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds as they had need. So we're taking up an offering after this, by the way. I'm kidding. But I think normally we get stuck there, that actually it's like they sold everything and so we need to sell everything and give to the poor or something like that. day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in homes. They received food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The first thing I want to say is that day by day, they attended the temple and they broke bread in homes. I joined this church more than 20 years ago now, and I didn't join this church 20 years ago. I joined a very different church. I don't think anyone in the leadership of this church was like, let's build a mega church. I don't think that was in anyone's heart. We love people. We wanted to reach Pretoria, and somehow we've ended up with this on a Sunday. And can I say that the more we end up with this full room on a Sunday, the more we're going to run towards things like life group and mom's group and those types of things. Not because of anything in us, but because there's a biblical mandate that you break bread in homes. That's what the Bible says. You break bread in homes. There's something incredible about that. And so we believe in both. We believe in the temple-type meetings, these big meetings on a Sunday. We gather together. We also believe in homes. We believe in meeting together around tables. We believe in both. If you read chapter 3, it says, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. When those four things, you look at the apostles' teaching, a fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer, prayer was a public thing. Prayer is what we get together to do as well. And so that's also a meeting we do. We get together as a church to pray corporately because we see it in the Bible. Verse 45 talks about two things. One is that got their possessions together, they sold it, and then they contributed that. There is something for every single person in this church to contribute. As a member of this church, it is an expectation that you are able to contribute something. What you think you can contribute and what you can might not be the same, but that's the case. On a Sunday, when Stephen's up here preaching, row 27K, it's very hard for that person to contribute other than faith. But on a Tuesday night in a life group, you can contribute. Who is the contribution for? So in this passage, they gave everything to the poor. That's right. No, they said they gave everything to all who had need. You see, the poor are needy, but so are the rich. The old are needy, but so are the young and the middle-aged. So are the single and the married. And so we cannot meet everyone's needs on a Sunday, but we can meet everyone's needs as a church. As a life group leader, I think we've got incredible life group leaders in this church. It's at the point I actually don't know probably even half of them anymore, but every time I meet a new one, and I'm kind of blown away by their ability to pay attention to the people that are arriving in their homes. And what I see is that they pay attention, very carefully pay attention to the needs of the people that arrive. They're not paying attention to the wants. It's the needs. Can I ask you, when you're in a life group, when you plant yourself, when you add yourself to that place, pay attention to the needs of the other people there. I think sometimes we arrive at a place and we're like, what can I get out? Is this the right vibe for me? Are these the right people? Pay attention to the needs, not what they want, but what they need. We by design have very different life groups. If you go to four different life groups, you'll probably find four very different formats, different ways of doing things, different groups, different time frames. Some of the students will, I think as a student, my record was 1 a.m. I ended a life group once. I would not do that today. It's like it wouldn't happen. I'm past that point. But as a student, you actually need it. You need to sit with people for long periods of time. As a family with kids, you don't need it. You need to go home. You need to get them to bed. And so we do have different life groups. We don't try to place people in life groups. We don't like, hey, you go to this one. We actually ask you, go have a look at a few. Don't have a look at too many. You'll spend a whole year looking at life groups. But add yourself where you've got faith. So they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayers. I want to end with this, and this is the sort of the biblical thing we've got. This is why we do life groups. This is why we do small groups, is because we see it in the Bible. But why do I do life group? Why do I love it? It is my favorite part of church. We've been doing life groups now, my wife and I, together for 10, 12 years. And before that, was part of life groups and led life groups for many years outside that. And I absolutely love it because this it's not a throwaway line that signs and wonders were amongst them. I think I've seen more miracles on a Tuesday night than I've seen on a Sunday. And that doesn't mean that there's nothing on a Sunday, but you get to sit up close with someone as you just watching a journey of them getting to know Jesus. My greatest moments of encouragement from other people have come on Tuesday nights. And it is also really difficult Tuesday nights sometimes. Sometimes it's not the group you pick. Sometimes it's not. There's no other place where God will knit together hearts that otherwise would never be friends. He'll do it at a life group. He'll do it at a mom's group. He'll do it at youth and at a student's meeting. And so that's why I love it and why I want to keep doing it. I think there are three things. This is not necessarily in the Bible, but it's been on my heart. There are three things that will tell us apart from the rest of the city we're in. There are three areas of our lives where if someone looks at you, it's either true or it's not, this gospel. The one is your wallet. What are you going to do with the resources you have? The one is your sexuality. You can hide it. You can do many things with it, but a life lived with a sexuality that honors God is an incredibly powerful testimony. And the third one is your table. What will you do with your dining room table? Who will you have around your table? Who will sit there? Who will you love on? And a life group is the incredible opportunity to go and do that. Whether it's in your home or in somebody else's, you will have the opportunity to sit on a couch next to someone and love them. It is a participation sport, not a spectator sport. And that's why I love Life Group.
You're amazing. That sports analogy will come up again, but not Acts 2. Contrary to popular belief, my name is Damien, not Damien, but that's a story for another day. But I want to tell you straight, there we go. Straight off the bat, I love this church. I've been in it for 23 years and it's done me good. We say this often, walk with us and we'll do you good. But I want to say to you this evening, walk with us and you will do us good. I grew up in local church and I want to talk about three T's, time, talents, and treasures. Tomorrow night you'll hear about treasures as in finances. But when I joined 3CI 23 years ago, I was served by leaders and it was very new for me that. Serving is in this church's DNA, and that's why I put here, church is not a spectator sport. Can you put up the banjo sign quickly, Ricky? We love coffee here. If you don't love coffee, we have to go back to the salvation message. But we're not going to read that now, but when you get a cup of coffee, why don't you read that? Because that, in the very essence of who we are as 3CI, has a story about a family who said, we have a preferred future in Pretoria. It's a people not our own, in a language we don't speak. They didn't speak any Afrikaans, but they left their home to serve Pretoria. And so that's in the very DNA of the church that we are. And they just said yes to Jesus. Okay, you can take it down now because no one's listening to me. We serve. It's mesmerizing. Read it when you get your coffee. I've only got 8 minutes. We serve like with our giving, and you'll hear tomorrow night, but we serve not under compulsion or obligation. We give freely of our time and our talents. The gospel is an outward expression of an inward work. You cannot help yourself when you see Jesus. You will love what he loves, and he loves people, so we love people. In a church our size, there's only one microphone, only one pulpit, and it would be it would be sad of us if we, and under it would undermine the work of the cross and actually the New Testament if we minimize serving to this one thing. Is that right?
Yeah.
The cross and the New Testament qualifies us all to be ministers of the gospel. We don't need serving teams just to do Sundays. Like often people will think, serving, they just want to get church people to do stuff for free so they don't have to pay for people. We could put a Plato staff in there. We could get professional people to park our cars and to come and clean. But actually, that's not the church we're building. Serving on a team on a Sunday is actually bare minimum. This is not what we're talking about. That we're talking about something in our hearts. We actually want to see people activated by the gospel, people who love each other, love the lost, and love Pretoria Monday to Sunday, not us just on Sundays. Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. So I have a very limited education. So I just think in threes. So I've just got three things we're going to talk about: Jesus, others, and me. There we go. It's on the board. Can I slow down? I've only got 8 minutes. It's a school night. We all need to be in bed by 8:30. Okay, I'm going to slow down. So, yeah, serving is in this church's DNA because it's in the very DNA of Jesus. In the Bible, it doesn't talk about leadership a lot. Actually, it doesn't talk about it anywhere, but it talks about servant leadership. Can we put up John 13? Brilliant. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. The Middle East is different. They took their clothes off when they served. So in 3CR, we'd do it differently. So you don't have to worry about that. It's not a prerequisite. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So there's actually a promise attached to serving. We serve by doing the work of our master. And he just actually said there, what other example do you need? Jesus speaks for himself there. He served from a position of leadership and authority when he washed their feet. I think the world's got it wrong. If you just think of Donald Trump, I don't ever picture that guy washing people's feet. But the gospel, we aim low when we serve, when we lead. My next point is on others. Rick, if you could put up Philippians 2. This is a scripture you'll hear lots in 3CR. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ. Not a similar mindset, the exact same mindset. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. One of my favorite phrases, you can put that up. Saved people serve people so that served people can become saved people. It's catchy, eh? Serving people is a way of preaching without using words. We want the majority to serve the minority. It's beautiful when I see this, but I've been to some churches, some traditional churches, where there's a lady who's been pouring tea since 1975, and she's still doing it today. And people come and go in this. It's amazing, bless her heart, but we actually want the majority of people that come to 3CR to be serving the minority. We want them to be on this side of the serving culture. It's a countercultural thing that we do, but it is a kingdom culture, and we need to take on the attributes of the cultures of the king and his kingdom. When you serve, you're good for the people around you. Some of the people who you could be serving with could become some of your best friends. You could disciple them, or you could be discipled by them. They could love you through times of grief, celebrate things with you. They could bring you a meal when you're in hospital, or you could take them a meal when they're sick. You could find a spouse. You know what? I want to tell you, if you're a young single woman here and you want to find a husband, find someone who is loving and serving the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. It's a good place to start. It's a good qualification for meeting a spouse. You could meet a future business partner while you're serving. You could help. Even the people at the door, I just feel if you have the same mind of Christ, you're looking at people, how he sees people at the front door. If you're greeting people at the front door, you could see hurting people, desperate people, broken people, people are lonely. And that's why I say the same mind of Christ, because if we're looking at people like that, he can do amazing things. When others is an amazing thing for me, because I think often people will be, just me and my quiet time, just me and Jesus, and I'll be fine. But actually, community is a beautiful thing. It's been touched on in both life groups and the community aspect. But others means community, but it actually means it's the process of sanctification that leads to holiness. We often say marriage is not about your happiness, it's about your holiness. And it's actually when we live together and we serve together, God does amazing things. You serving is good for the people around you. And finally, me. Mark 10, please. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be a slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. I want to encourage you that you don't have to be a professional to serve. You just have to be grateful and willing. You'll only be grateful when you understand, and this is a great word to learn because it's used very wrong by preachers, but the word enormity actually means like a great evil. It's a very bad thing. People often talk about the enormity of God, and I cringe. But you will be grateful when you understand the enormity of your sin, but the magnitude of his forgiveness. The real gratitude, that's real gratitude. And grateful people are giving people. I've got a couple of friends. I've got more than a couple, but I've got two friends I just actually want to highlight. I don't know if you know Maggie. You've probably heard her. You might not have seen her, but she is a small woman who, when she worships there, she worships because she knows what she's been saved out of and what she's been saved into. And so she has this amazing expression of worship. And I have another friend, Hilton, who serves every single Sunday. You would have been served coffee, or he would have helped you in the parking lot in some aspect. He serves. But he said to me, he also calls me Domian. He said, Domian, if you knew where I came from, it's very easy to serve. He's a grateful man. I just actually have a bunch of things I note in the videos, but I just want to encourage you that on a Sunday we have a photography team, we have a parking team, we have a sound team, we have a security team, we have a mom's room, we have hospitality, we have a worship team, if you're gifted, we have coffee, we have logistics, we have an AV team, baptism team, an info team, kids ministry, kids security, an ice cream team. I mean, who doesn't want to be on an ice cream team for Jesus? Come on, flip a neck. That's just low-hanging fruit, people. During the week, we have ministries like youth. We have a mom's group that meets on a Thursday. We have a pensioners' life group, and we have a young adults. Imagine if we had young people coming to serve pensioners in our community. That would be countercultural. If you have a cooking or a baking gift, feed people. Invite people into your homes. I love what Matt said about the dining room table. Visit people in hospital. If you have a car and people don't have a way to get to church, use your vehicle to serve people. There's so many ways that we can do that. And actually, just to ask God to open your eyes and around the creativity of serving. It's wide open. I actually have this story that I remember hearing when I was in school about this in the days when people needed to get from Europe to the States. And I don't know exactly, but we'll pretend that it was a 10-day trip. And they buy a ticket and get on the boat. And there's a story about this guy who he saved up and he bought this ticket and he got on the boat. And then he had like a bag with some Maori biscuits and some long life milk or whatever. And he found a little spot by one of the life craft. And he tucked in there and he was eating his Maori biscuits. And day one, two, three, four went by. And when it was raining, he pulled one of the tarpaulins over him. And on about day eight, they were on their way to New York and they were pulling in there. And then one of the stewards came past him and said, "Hey, what are you doing down there?" He goes, no, it's fine. Don't worry. I'm good. We're nearly there. How much longer to go?" And the guy said, "Can I just see your ticket?" And he said, "Did you know when you bought this ticket, it entitled you to a room and to three meals a day? And I feel coming to church, coming in at 9:15 and leaving at 10:15, is you just, there's so much more. There is so much more to church. There is so much more to church than just doing that. It's amazing. And we'll see you in heaven. But there's an amazing thing that happens when you serve. Because Jesus served us first. When we understand that, when we understand the gospel, when we understand what Eugene spoke about tonight, there's a huge debt of gratitude. And we cannot only help but look like our Savior. And so I want to encourage you. There's so many places to get involved. Ricky can put up on our website, very easy to find. Just visit the website, you'll see the volunteer thing, and we'll have people that get back in touch with you. But we don't want you to be part of this as a person, the bare minimum. There's so much more to the kingdom of God, and serving is a great vehicle for that. Thanks, Clinton.